You remain standing for the reading of the gospel. It comes to us this morning from Mark's gospel, 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Growing up, I was always enamored with pioneers and explorers. Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett were my heroes. I mean, I had the buckskin coat with the fringe and the coonskin hat and the toy musket, the whole works, wore it everywhere, even to school. They were the ones that went ahead of us. They went into the unknown. They charted the course. They established the outpost for other people to follow. Now, as I've grown up and found out that I really like things that are real familiar, I know that I wouldn't have had what it took to be one of those kind of people. I mean, it's hard to imagine what it was like to be Christopher Columbus that gets in a boat and sets sail across an ocean into the unknown, knowing that at some point you pass that point of no return, not being sure what lies in front of you, but knowing you can't make it back home on the provisions that you have. It had to have a certain personality type that lended itself to those kind of people. Some might have been motivated by fame or glory or even money, but most of those forward-deploying heroes didn't go for glory. They went for necessity. They went to secure safe passage for the rest of us, like first landers at Normandy or in those islands across the South Pacific to establish a beachhead at the cost of their lives. But without it, there was not freedom, a road to freedom for all who would follow. For them, it was certainly not about glory. It was about necessity. No one in their right mind wanted that job of going ahead. One of the most interesting descriptions of Jesus in the New Testament, to me, is found in the book of Hebrews, where the writer describes Jesus as a pioneer. Hebrews 12 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." It describes Jesus as a trailblazer, but not a glory seeker. In fact, we can be sure it was not particularly a job that Jesus wanted. Maybe it was more than he bargained for when he left heaven. And on that Thursday night, he reached a point of no return and even asked his father if he could turn back and not go the rest of the way, but at the same time agreeing that if it was the only way, he would press ahead. Leonard Sweet, Methodist theologian and futurist, describes life and situations in life in two ways. He said there are two kinds of situations in life that we all experience. One are what he calls me-first situations. Me-first situations are what we learn as children when ice cream is being served. And we all say, me-first, because we want to be the center of attention and the envy of all the rest who have to stand and wait their turn while we are first with ice cream. On the other hand, he said, there are some you go ahead situations. Now, you go ahead, he says, has to be said with just the right amount of I'm being generous and aren't I nice kind of tone. Not said too quickly or enthusiastically, lest they get suspicious that there's a reason you won't them to go ahead of you. The disciples knew about both of those situations. Me first, and you go ahead. Before Friday, they often argued about who was getting to go first, to be the envy of all the rest. And at times, Jesus just let them go. He let them go first in a boat to cross the lake, first to the towns that he would visit, first to the Passover celebration as they prepared it. But he never let them get so far ahead that he couldn't catch up with them if they needed him to, when they got in trouble along the way, even if he had to walk on water to catch up with them. But most of Jesus' ministry was spent with them, not ahead of them. Actually, I guess you could say it was spent a step ahead of them, not out of eyesight or earshot, because he called them, remember, as disciples, to follow me. I have the feeling that Jesus spent a lot of time walking backwards, looking over his shoulder, teaching them as they followed, just a step behind or just off his shoulder. In fact, a big part of Jesus' life and ministry was to communicate the message, God is with us. When he was born, remember, the angel said, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the Christmas message. God is with us. It wasn't a new message. It's what God had told Moses, Joshua, and Israel. Don't be afraid. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's a comforting thought to know that we're not alone. The experience of that brought security to the disciples. They found that when Jesus was not with them, they were afraid, locked away in an upper room in those immediate hours following his death. But while the message of Christmas is the incarnation, God is with us, that's not the message of Easter. Easter is about resurrection. And the message of the resurrection was, God goes ahead of us. On Thursday night, they broke the news. He broke the news to his disciples. He was going away. And where he was going, they could not come. Not yet. Peter was so upset, he says to him, I'll go with you anywhere, even unto death, which wasn't really true, even though he wanted it to be. I've been with you all this time, he said to the 12 that night, but where I am going now, you cannot go. Not yet. I am going ahead of you, and you don't understand it now, but later you will. What they didn't yet know is he was going ahead of them into trial and torture, ahead of them to the cross and into the tomb. And ultimately, he was going ahead of them into heaven. And his going ahead of them did not mean that they wouldn't have to go too. They would eventually. But it meant he would go ahead to be the pioneer and perfecter of their faith, so that when that day came that they had to go, they'd be ready. So when they went out on their own and they faced their own trials, their own suffering, their own deaths, they could do so in faith because Jesus had gone ahead of them. He had shown to them there was life on the other side of all of that that they never thought they could endure, that would be greater than anything they would face, even death. Undoubtedly, it is comforting to have someone with us when we step into uncharted territory, when we face frightening circumstances. But in some ways, it might be even better to have someone go before us. It's like a child learning to swim. You could take a child by the hand and say, let's jump in together. But it might be better to jump in before them and show them that the water's not over their head when they jump in, and to say, now jump. I'm here to catch you when you get here. The interest in the message of the angel on the first Easter morning was not, Christ is risen, behold, here is your Savior. What they found was an empty tomb. And the message of the angel is, Christ is risen, he is not here. Which was amazing, unnerving, disappointing. But then the angel added, go tell the disciples and Peter that the reason he's not here is he's going ahead of you. He's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see Him when you get there, just as He told you. So you could say, Christmas is good. Christ is with us. But He was limited by time and space in His humanity. But Easter is better. Christ is before us. Because you know what that means? It means He knows where I'm going. And He is already there ahead of me, making provision as I make that journey. The good thing about Christ ahead of us is that's where fear and anxiety and uncertainty lie. Ahead of us. It's in the future. That's what we fear. That's our anxiety, what we can't see, where we've never been. But Easter says, no matter where it is that life is taking me, or death is taking me, Christ is waiting there. Christ has gone ahead of me there. And that is good news, living in a world of an uncertain future. It's good news when the economy's in the tank and we don't know if it'll turn around. Good news if the company is struggling and we don't know if it'll make it. It's good news to know Christ is ahead of me. It's good news when the outcome of the biopsy is unknown, when the recovery from the illness is uncertain. It is good news when the marriage is rocky. It is good news when our children have grown up and are going off, being married and leaving us. Because then I know where I can no longer be with them. Christ is already there where life is taking them, waiting. It is good news when our loved ones are dying to know Christ is risen and He has gone ahead of them and He has prepared a place and He will be there to welcome them home. What we know about pioneers is they make it easy for the rest of us to follow. They do the hard work. They secure the safe passage. They establish the outpost to reach. They give us confidence that it can be done. We can reach the other side. I think it's the reason that Jesus called us to be followers. To give up that me first and embrace a you go ahead way of living. You go ahead of me. And I know that I'll follow and you'll be there when I get there. But if Jesus told the angel to tell the disciples He would see them in Galilee, it was pretty important that they too went to Galilee, that they followed Him there. It wouldn't be the easiest place they would ever go. Galilee is the place where they fear facing their failure, where they're reminded that when the moment came, they denied Him, they ran away. Galilee was the place where they started, and when they got back, there would be all those "I told you so" people. Galilee was the place where they fished all night and caught nothing. But Galilee was also the place for them to start over. Galilee was the place of their redemption. It was the place for Peter to be asked again 3 times, "Do you love me?" It was the place where they would haul in a record catch of fish and meet Him on the shore. Galilee is the place where we step out and grow up into the full potential of who we can be in Christ. Galilee is the place where the risen Christ is at work, preparing the way for us, the way for a new beginning. One other thing to understand about the risen Christ who goes before us. The closer we stay to where He leads, the more benefit we receive to following Him. Those of you who have ever ridden a bike in group rides with people know that the closer you stay to the lead, the more benefit you get from the draft. About 40% of energy can be saved riding in that peloton, they call it in those big races. Not only that, the more bikes that are in tow, the more benefit to the group. Like birds flying in formation, like the church. Like water skiing behind a boat. If you ever water skied, you know that being outside the wake is fun on a smooth day. But if the water's really rough, it's a lot better to be in the wake where someone has gone before us, smoothing out the way. It's really what confirmation is about today. It's a day when our confirmands committed yourself to follow Christ who is risen and who promises to go before you every day of your life. It is also a day when you committed to be a part of the church so you don't have to try to live this faith alone. So the next time I would remind you that you're in one of those places and it really seems like Christ is not here, remember, He is risen. And He has gone before you. And if we'll just keep following, even if we don't know where it's taking us, even if it's where we don't want to go, we will see Him when we get there. And then it'll all make sense as we see the way He paved and the plan He has. For when we follow the risen Christ, we walk by faith, but not by sight, because we know He has gone ahead of us, just out of our sight, but never out of His reach. His reach.